Suppose I should record this computer. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Faith Rising podcast, video podcast. This is Jeff Lamberts coming back to you again today with my good friend, dear friend, who I've known for, man, I forget when we first met, maybe high school, roughly. I know we went to the same high school and then reconnected a handful of years ago, close to 10 years ago. My man, Ryan Kelly, is on with us today. He's going to tell us about his faith journey, his business journey, his family journey, and explain to us and talk to us and tell us about his story. So I appreciate you listening, watching, however you're absorbing and digesting the information. As always, I could give a glowing bio. You know, I've known this man longer than most of the other people that have been on so far. It just works out schedule-wise we're on today. But I always, you know, find from you guys, you like to hear it directly from the source. So Ryan, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your history, you know, what we talked about ahead of time, and we'll kind of see where it goes. We'll ask some questions. We'll get to know you a little bit better, and we'll find out how we can connect with you after the show.
That sounds great. Appreciate you inviting me here, Jeff. It's been something that we've talked about for a while now, and it's good to be able to jump on here and have a little discussion, and maybe we can, you know, share some things today that might be able to inspire or, you know, influence other people in their life to, you know, follow God's calling and whatever that looks like for them. A little bit about myself, I guess, try to keep it a little bit short here and maybe hit some high points. You know, I'm married, got five kids. Wow. Five kids. Wow. Yeah, they're all 10 and under. Yeah, pretty exciting there. I'm a real estate broker. I own my own firm. I live in the West Michigan area. Raised as a cradle Catholic. And there was a period of time where I got away from that, right? And maybe we can talk a little bit about that, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe times in many people's lives where they go through that test of what I've learned, identifying who I am and seeing how that fits in. And then, you know, my wife and I now, we are practicing Catholics. And when we got married, actually, we didn't really have that faith foundation, which is an interesting story there, right? And it wasn't soon after we got married where I kind of scratched my head a little bit and said, man, if we don't find God inside of our relationship, then we just might not have the longevity that we're looking for. So, yeah, that's a little bit of a snapshot there. I mean, we can dive into some more of it, but that's a little bit of an intro of who I am, I guess. I don't know if you want me to add any more to that or...
No, this is a good start, and you've got five kids, but your youngest, your newest child, newest, not the right term, youngest was born on Father's Day, right?
That's correct. Pretty close? Yeah, he's 5 months old now. Yeah, Father's Day of 2020. That was the best Father's Day I could have got right there. So it was exciting, too, and it was a home birth. All of our children have been home births. My wife and I have delivered the kids. We have had a midwife present with us, but it's all been in our bedroom, whatever house we lived in at the time, us two together, and we've kind of taken that route with our life, and it's kind of, you know, the mentality's bled into other parts of how we do things and how we live.
Now, what led you to both of you to make that decision, you, your wife, and yourself? Was it something you had discussed before you had kids, or like as you, like when she got pregnant with your oldest, you had said, hey, we want to do this, or did she bring it up to you? How did that come about?
You know, I don't remember the specifics on exactly how it happened, but I think she brought it up to me, obviously with, you know, with my wife being the one giving birth, you know, she needs to have the comfortability of whatever she's looking for. And, you know, I wasn't opposed to it when she brought it up. It's like, yeah, I mean, that sounds great, actually, you know, so it's kind of a natural fit. My wife and I very much align in our mentalities when it comes to a lot of that stuff. So there wasn't this like, no, we have to go to the hospital because, you know, and so then there's this element of conflict that is between the two of us. It was very natural. It was, all right, let's go for it. And so it just kind of became how we done it with all our kids. It's pretty amazing, actually.
That is awesome. That's very cool. How old is your oldest?
My oldest is 10. She is my stepdaughter. And then 8 is my oldest biological daughter. And then my son will be 6 in January, my oldest son. And then 3 and then 5 months old. And my youngest 3 are all sons.
And fittingly,
as you guys go through, and we'll talk a little bit later on this, you are known as the Kelly Crew, and that is a fitting seven-person family. That's amazing. I love it. I love it. I want to jump back into the I'm not familiar with the term. Did you say Cradle Catholic?
Cradle Catholic. That means
Cradle Catholic. Okay.
I was baptized as a baby as a Catholic, and I was raised in the Catholic Church. So, yeah, there's a little term for it, Cradle Catholic.
Nice, nice. So tell me about that with your upbringing on that, because you had said when you met Tabitha, you guys didn't really have that. You had the discussion. Obviously, that was part of your youth, probably part of your teenage years. I don't know if you, you know, had some rebellions like a lot of us do, or what kind of brought you away from that. I'm curious to know a little bit about that, if you want to talk about that.
Being raised Catholic, we went to church on Sundays. You know, we had mass every week that my mom would bring me to, and went through the whole catechism as a kid and going through the sacraments. And it was great. It laid a great foundation for me. But as you mentioned, as you get a little bit older and you start rebelling, whether it's the teenage years or for me, it was even a little bit later. More towards, you know, being in college and into my early and mid 20s, where I just got involved with, you know, drinking and other things that kind of led me in a different direction. And a few things had happened in my life where I just kind of looked at it and said, you know, hey, you know, maybe God has abandoned me, or maybe I, you know, whatever I did, I don't have his blessings, when in all reality, and hindsight, we can talk about that a different time. Maybe hindsight 2020, that's when I had maybe the most blessing, right? You know, the forging of what was to come. And so, you know, we stepped away from the church, you know, I guess me, not we, but, you know, kind of did my thing. And then, you know, getting married to Tabitha, she didn't really have a faith foundation as much. And so that's where I kind of brought it up to her, and I started taking the kids to church. And she didn't really like that necessarily at the time.
Okay.
There was a foundation of understanding from her, but I did it anyway because I knew it was important, right? But anyways, you know, she prayed about it, and she actually has a video that she made where she had a very she had an experience with Jesus, and it was while we were at church when she prayed. She made a video about it on her old channel. And that really changed her mind. After that, she said, hey, I'm going to become Catholic, right? And it was soon after that we, you know, we announced that we were pregnant with our first son. And she became Catholic. We got married a second time in the Catholic Church, right? You know, a convalidation of marriage. And ever since then, we've been going down the path, and God has become the foundation of our marriage and our lives together.
It is incredibly important, and unfortunately, well, as the more I meet and the more I talk to people and interview for this podcast, I find that more and more a factor with longevity in relationships. But there are so many people out there that don't have that. They put this person, that person, you know, I've done it historically in myself in a couple of failed relationships, including a failed marriage, because there was no faith in that. I'm finding that as that becomes more and more and it's the focal point in the center, it essentially assures the longevity of it if it's there. You know, God's the center of everything. So I want to hear just a little bit on that, and we'll move on this. Like, she had this experience in church. I don't know if that video is available anymore. You said it's her old channel, but was she, it almost sounds like she might've been hesitant to go at first because you were bringing the kids, or you started to, and then she didn't like it, assuming she wasn't going with you. And then there was a point where she went with you. You just like said, hey, come with me, or how did that work out?
Yeah, she didn't want us to go. She didn't want me to bring the kids. And she was not going with us. She would stay home. And that's where her, you know, her encounter, if you will, happened, you know, her spiritual awakening. And that video still is available. I will find it for you and send it to you. That way you have that link on if you want to link it there, if somebody wants to see that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, after that is when she, you know, she kind of understood, like, wow, you know, this is a very, very real thing, right? And so, yeah, that's kind of how that unfolded there with that. And ever since then, it's been, as mentioned, the kind of the foundation of our marriage. And, you know, we don't drink alcohol anymore. We don't use drugs. We don't do things that alter our minds, because ultimately we need to find where God wants us and how we can add the most value to each other, to our children, and then to the world ultimately, right? If you're not in control of yourself, if you don't have you know, the disciplines that you need for you to be you, whatever that looks like for you, right? What works for me might not work for somebody else, but you know, it's one of those things, like if you want to love others, first love yourself. If you want to take care of others, first take care of yourself. So, you know, that's the most important, that she takes care of her, I take care of me, we take care of each other together, we take care of our children. And now we can look at being able to help in a broader perspective with more people.
Okay. That's awesome. That's a great perspective, a great way to put that on there too. I'm going to take that quote and I'll put it on there as kind of the header when I post this up. I think that's awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of moving forward into your career. These are great things you had said. Sorry, something flying around in front of the camera. You've been in real estate for quite a while, since I've known you anyway, obviously not in high school, but since I've known you as a professional. You've kind of been in a couple different avenues and you've had a variety of successes. Tell us a little bit about that. And I'm assuming that obviously your faith in God had a strong pull to bring you to certain places, have you walk away from one thing, bring into another type of things. So tell us a little bit about that history.
Yeah, that's a great segue into that, actually, because what you're mentioning there is very much how a lot of that happened. And I know that's, as our conversation earlier, kind of one of the focal points is some of the, you know, the not safe and secure stuff in life and following where God wants you to go. So as I worked after high school and college, you know, at the job I was at, it was not satisfying for me at all. I made great money. And that's the other thing too, like, man, like, whoo-wee, you know, but I was involved in, you know, just run around being crazy, bars, et cetera, you know, that whole piece there and everything like that. And I wanted to align my life with different things that could be more fulfilling, you know, from a professional standpoint. And so that's where real estate came in, you know, studying some of the, like the rich dad, poor dad concepts and looking at real estate. And during the last market crash, I ended up buying some real estate, owned some different buildings, still own some buildings today. That kind of got me into real estate. And then, you know, fast forwarding, I was with a company there for a while to help that company franchise. And I kind of led some of the development on that. That ultimately didn't work. Unfortunately, there was a lot of time and effort that went into that, but that ended up not working. You know, that led to me starting my own firm, right? There's a little break there. I know you want to talk a little bit about everything we did with the YouTube channel, but, you know, that led into me ultimately starting my firm. But, you know, going back to that, you know, switching from my job into the real estate career, that really was a leap of faith. That really was like tears in my eyes, like, man, I don't know if I can do it, right? Is this the right thing? But, you know, you just, when God's calling you, you just kind of let go. And you say, all right. And then once you get through it, you're like, that worked out. You know, what was I so freaked out again for? Right? You know?
This is exactly that not safe and secure part where so many people make decisions based on where they're going to be the safest, where they're going to be the most secure, what's going to provide them with that cushion, that protection. And there are numerous stories, you know, we touched on and didn't name them, but in the Bible where, you know, an individual was put in a position that they had to make a decision that you don't really know how it's going to work out, and you have to have 100% faith. And you're talking about that. I think with knowing you and your story, I feel like that's more what you've had than some of the other people I've talked to. That's awesome. And despite the franchising system ultimately not working out on your end, I'm sure there were some important lessons to be learned.
It was an amazing experience. Made some great friends. There's good people that, you know, I was able to connect with here locally and around the country as well. Still networked with those people, right? You take those relationships with you. And, you know, starting my own firm now, right? I mean, some of that's bled over. The relationships are still there. But it's nice to be able to be inside this space I'm at now with my own firm. It's not a real big firm. You know, I help clients, you know, sell and buy houses. And I've really started to develop a client base of industrial properties, right? Commercial properties, investment developments, and starting to kind of mold my business into that sector, which is really nice as well. So, you know, kind of like a broad experience. I'm a little bit more able to maneuver inside that, being the owner of the brokerage, right, is my firm, and can kind of control that. And I have a partner with me that is, you know, he's fantastic. It works out really well for us.
That's good. That's really good. So moving from where you were in the franchise system, was that your break into kind of working with the Kelly crew, and those that don't know, I'm sure you'll describe it here, and then ultimately leading you onto that journey with the camper and everything that I followed. And probably some of the listeners are going to watch this now and not know who I am, but know who you are and be attracted to that name. They're going to go, oh, let's hear a little bit more of the story. So kind of bring us in from that. Did you leave the franchise system of that real estate brokerage and then into this? I don't remember how that worked out.
That's I'll give a wee little backstory here and try to keep it short, but give enough data that you can understand where we're at. So my wife is really who spearheaded this whole YouTube journey that we've been on, right? Many, many years ago, she came across some stuff on there. She's like, oh, I can do that. And so she started down this path with her first channel for herself. And then it led into a vlog channel, and she tried getting me on board, like, come on, Ryan, like, let's do it together. Let's do this. And I was very much not wanting to be involved at first because I was working on my real estate business. You know, we were doing this thing. I just didn't have the desire for it. But as I learned more and saw her start to grow with it and things evolve with her channel, I'm like, wow, this is actually kind of cool, right? And so we started to get more involved with the Kelly crew together, and we started actually daily vlogging, right? And this is when I was still doing some of the franchise stuff there. We made a vlog every single day about our life. And so she was continuing with her channel, and I was continuing to work, you know, in the Kelly crew vlogs. And so we were doing that, and we started to create a secondary business and secondary income. It was kind of nice. It's like, wow, this actually, you know, kind of has some, you know, fruits to the labor will, if you will, you know, other than just the memories that you create. So, you know, that being said, we were moving down that path, and then, you know, everything fell apart with the franchising system. And then my wife and I were literally there looking at each other like, we have like nothing, right? I mean, our business that we were part of is gone, right? Everything that I was working on, you know, we were kind of left almost empty-handed. So we said, where do we go from here? So we thought about it, and we prayed about it and everything. And that's where this massive leap and this massive faith comes into play, right? And some people on here might think that I'm crazy. They might think, whoa, you know, we could never do that. Good. Or as you mentioned good. A minute
ago, I hope Jeff, they do. I hope they do, man. I hope they do. That's a chance right there.
It is, for sure. So let me inspire you, right? And I'm not advocating that everybody does the same thing that I do, but I am advocating that everybody prays about it. And if God puts something very big on your heart, that's the thing that you're supposed to do, and you need to walk into it for full faith. So here's what happened. So I came home one day and I told my wife, I said, I think we're supposed to sell the house and our cars and like most of our personal belongings and just go travel around the country for our YouTube channel. And at the time we weren't making an income that was sustaining life type thing, right? You know, where we're like, oh wow, this is, you know, incredible. So we took a huge leap of faith, and we did that. We sold our house that we were living in. We sold both vehicles that we owned. We unloaded most of the personal items that we had. We got a little 10x10 storage unit, and we put some stuff in there. But we bought a truck, and we bought an RV, and we left. We just drove off into the countryside, and we were gone for half a year. And we drove all around the country, and we made vlogs every single day while we were gone. And so the entire trip is on video of all these different, you know, 8 to 15 minute vlogs. We drove all the way down to Florida on the East Coast, all the way across the Southern United States, back out to California, and then back up through, you know, the Rockies and everything like that, back down through the mid United States. And we got to have this experience, right? Of like, whoa. The kids absolutely loved it. We got to meet so many amazing people. And then now we're just now starting to understand like how that journey, because it was hard at the end because we didn't quite accomplish the goals that we wanted to accomplish with it. We're like, why did, you know, kind of looking again, like, God, why do you drag us out there? Why, you know, we're coming back here, like, you know, not really empty handed again, but at the same time, like, man, that's, you know, where do we go from here? And we actually made a video called Where Do We Go From Here? And that was when we were in Topeka, Kansas, right? I'll never forget that. It was interesting times. But anyways, so, you know, we did that. We got wrapped up in a bunch of YouTube drama where they ended up shutting commenting off on our channel and my wife's other channel. So we started two new channels, and we have a bunch of content on those channels now, and they're really taking off. My wife's channel has over 45,000 subscribers. We're about to hit 10K on the Kelly crew. And it's starting to be at the point now where it is a life-sustaining income for us, which is really exciting because it's taken all these years, right? And all these leaps of faith and all these things that have happened. So, you know, we're now starting to see it all come together, and it's a huge blessing, and we're thankful for that every day. We don't take it for granted, and we need to continue to work hard, keep God as the center of everything that we do, and make sure that, you know, we raise our kids in that same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how did you break the news to the kids then? Because I'm sure that, you know, this was within the last year, right? Or 2 years ago, something like that. And they were still little. They probably maybe didn't understand that completely. How did you break it to them, and what was their reaction?
I think we actually made a video with that.
You don't have to answer, man. We'll put a link to the video on here.
I don't remember if we did or not. Oh, well, I know we told my parents. We can put that video on there. We have my mom's reaction where she's all crying. Yeah. I mean, the kids were excited about it. You know, we homeschool our kids, right? And that's something where we didn't have to, you know, we didn't have to ask permissions from anybody. We didn't have to do any of that. And, you know, I looked at, you know, everything that we did, and, you know, somebody might say, oh, you know, I need to be safe and secure. We need to make sure we have, you know, everything in place. And like, you know, we couldn't walk away from an income or anything like that. And it's like, we never walked away from an income. What we did is we walked into God's direction for us. Right. And so the safe and secure way that we think as humans, the safe and secure way is make sure I have a job and, you know, I'm this and that. And we have our little, you know, little bubble over here, right? We think that's the safe, secure way, but really the safe, secure way is going where God wants you to go. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing more safe and secure than Him, right? Absolutely. And so understanding what that is and having the courage to do it, right? Because if He leads you to it, He leads you through it. And if you say it's in your hands for real, because everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, it's, you know, I give it to God. Well, if God tells you something to do and you don't do it, did you really do it? Or are you just saying that to kind of pass time?
It's easy for people to say, it's harder for people to acknowledge and actually follow through with that. 100%. Yep.
For
and
sure.
You are so living examples of really just giving it over.
We did. We really, truly did. And that can't be taken from us. You know, what that did to us from a spiritual perspective, what that did to us from an educational perspective. I mean, instead of learning in a book about the White Sands National Monument in New Mexico, we went there, right? We're down digging through the sand. We're looking at the bushes. You know what I mean? We're picking out the little animals that they have everywhere. It's a totally different style of living, right? And it's what works for us really well, right?
Absolutely. And most people will get their 2 weeks vacation a year, and they'll take the 2 weeks vacation and they'll fly out or drive out to White Sands, or they'll drive out. I remember watching a video. If you guys were on the Mexico side of the Rio Grande, is that right? Or were you on? I forget where it was, but I remember watching that, and you're like, hey, over here is this, and over here is Texas or something like that. And I was like, kidding, man. So instead of you guys didn't play the safe route, and we've, you know, talked on this a lot, but most people will take their 2 weeks. They'll go down for 2 weeks and be like, all right, cool. Another, you know, 50 weeks and we can go do another one. You're like, the heck with it. We got 6 months. God is saying, hey, this is what we got to do. All these other things had fallen into place or fallen out of place in order to move you into this environment and this space over here, which was remarkably exciting, a tremendous spiritual, physical, emotional experience. And the fact that you blogged the whole thing too is just awesome, because most people would just go and enjoy it. And you're like, hey, we got a family that we need, you know, they want to follow us. They're essentially, a lot of people, I'm sure, live vicariously through you guys through that, because they'll never have a chance to do that or play safe and secure. My one question before we kind of move on in this, you started doing the vlogging before this daily. What led you to do it daily? Because a lot of people are like, oh, we'll do it once a week or twice a week and see what it is. Because that's a big undertaking, man, to put up a video, produce it the way that you guys edit it and all that stuff every day. Like, was it just like, we need to do it every day? Or was it a discussion that you had and said, let's just commit to it and see where it goes?
That's pretty much it. Let's commit to it, see where it goes. We wanted to know, or have people get to know us, right? And so showing them our real life. Some of the videos were kind of boring. I look at them like, oh, that's kind of boring or whatever. But people like to see authenticity as well. Mm-hmm. You got to have that mixture. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like that there is a variety of them as well. I want to note specifically the prank video about you guys had a, you pranked your wife on a Netflix pilot or something like that. That was cool to see that. And you've recorded the whole thing. And that's one of my favorites. I'll never forget that one.
We can link that video or whatever to the actual.
I'm not going to link the video. I'm gonna give people your channel and just say, hey, man, you want to know more about this? These guys are phenomenal people. Subscribe and watch. So,
We got the old channel. I'll just do a little plug here real quick since we're on that. So we have the old channel and called The Old Kelly Crew. We don't post on that anymore, but that houses 600 videos or something. And then we have the new channel is called just The Kelly Crew. And we upload there. And you can see all of our new content there. We continue to upload on that as well.
Sweet. Sweet. So in the last couple of years, you've gone on this journey, but you were part of like a YouTube, you were traveling with other people or meeting with them, weren't you?
Yeah, we were meeting with other people. We coined the term, the Let's Connect American YouTubers Tour, right? Because we wanted to go out there and we're like, let's connect, right? I mean, that was like the whole idea behind it. And we met with a bunch. Disappointingly enough, there was a lot of people that didn't want to meet with us. They had no desire to connect with us. Some people even went as far as saying they would meet with us and we drove out of our way kind of to their town and then they would choose not to meet with us. So I don't know, there's weird people out there, right? I mean, you get all kinds. We were just roaming around the country. Like we're just cruising through, you know, backwoods Georgia and, you know, people are not answering the phone anymore. They won't connect with us or whatever. So it's kind of weird. It's a little disappointing in some ways. But again, we look at like the bigger picture of what God had us on this path to learn. And that was kind of the most important thing. While we were bummed about it, we're like, oh, sweet. Look over here at this thing or whatever. You know what I mean? There's so much stuff out there, Jeff. There really is. Like, and as we drove across the country, we think about like the United States, right? And we're like, oh, it's a small place. There's so many places around the world. Like it's ginormous. It is ginormous. There's so much stuff. We drove by most of it. We were gone for 6 months and we drove by most of it. You're driving through Nevada. Yes, no man's land everywhere out there, for sure, a lot of it. But there's, you can stop by, you can go hike around places, you can do things. You're driving through Colorado. I mean, there's so, so much out there. Louisiana, I mean, all those bayous and everything down there. I mean, there's so many cool things, right? And there are little stops, you know, little signs and billboards. Turn here for, you know, learning about this. So it's just, it's so abundant, right? I mean, what God has created and given us here is so abundant. And this needs to be that same way, right? If you have that mentality, that scarcity mentality, like I'll just talk about money for a second. Like money is not a pie, okay? There's not like, there's this much money. And every time this guy's net worth goes up, yours has to come down. Every time this gal over here does really well, like you're doing bad now. Like it's not how it is. There's abundance, right? And we can all live this fruitful, abundant life if we have that fruitful, abundant mentality, right? And it bleeds over into everything else. Like, oh, I can't have any more kids because I only have so much love. That's ridiculous, right? I mean, love is abundant, you know? So, I mean, in God, love is abundant to think like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, little small-minded earthly thing that I think of that is going to take away from that, right? I mean, that's just not true, right? And so really the key here for all of this stuff, right, that I learned many, many years ago is switching my mind to have that abundant mentality from the scarcity mentality, right? Like, oh, there's, you know, so much, so little stuff here. Like I have to hold on to it. And like, no, like give, like open up, right? Accept as well, right? Because people are trying to give to you. And really that's that let's connect mentality, right? Like let's connect with people. Let's help each other, you know, grow and build. And God wants to do that too. He's got his own let's connect tour, right? Because he wants to connect with all of us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to his son and say, I give my life to Jesus. And
all the time, every day, that every real. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. What was your favorite place to visit?
Super tough question because there's a lot of good things out there. But I would have to say that Beaver, Utah is incredible. Right? Beaver, Utah was good. We did spend about a week in Leadville, Colorado. There's a campground out there called Sugarloafin. Okay. There's nothing at all special about that place, right? There's no concrete pads. It's just all dirt or whatever, but it's like whatever Sugarloafin is, you're doing it there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. You're just kind of chilling. It's right at the base of Mount Massive and Mount Albert, which are the tallest peaks in the Rockies. And we actually made a 60-minute full length movie while we were out there. And so we have that on our old channel too, that full length movie that we made to kind of wrap up the Let's Connect tour. So I really liked it out there in those two places. The Grand Tetons were amazing as well. So I think the common thread here is the mountain scenery and yep. being able to hike in these places.
Love it, man. That's absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. So in coming back home to Michigan, and making that decision to kind of, I almost want to say, integrate back into what we call a normal life, getting a house again, purchasing a home, you know, starting your own brokerage. What, I mean, obviously God, I'm getting, is your answer. I know he's going to be part of it to start your own firm rather than go into, you've already got your realtor's license. You probably had your broker's license already, or if you didn't, you were working on it. Instead of joining a firm, what led you to start your own?
I already had my broker's license. You're correct. I had got that previously. before we left to go on the Let's Connect tour, I got my broker's license. So it was a tough decision. It really was. But, you know, I just thought about it and thought about the direction I wanted to go and how I wanted everything to look. And I just felt this is the right direction for me, right? You know, it wasn't anything like super clear messaging from God or something like that. Like some stuff in the past had been, other than that real estate was, I mean, just self-awareness. I'm good at real estate. I'm good at contracts. I know how to help people with stuff. I can put big deals together, small deals together. Like I know how all the little pieces fit together. I'm just, you know, I'm wired that way. So I knew that that was probably a good thing for us to do. And looking back at it now, like income wise, cause we came back here with, you know, a small income from everything else. We have investment properties and other, you know, passive income sources as well. So it's like, but with a big family, it's, you know, you're always continuing to consume and, you know, we like to try to get back as much as we can, but it was just, it felt like the right thing to do and just starting my own thing. I could control it and do how I wanted to do. And I wasn't really interested in like, oh, let's bring on a ton of agents and like build this whole thing, which might be evolving now. I might look at starting to do some of that to, you know, create a passive income stream and to be able to help, you know, other realtors or associate brokers be able to be successful inside this space as well. So that might be coming in the near future.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And my understanding, most of your previous experience was residential. Now you talked about getting into the industrial space, the commercial space. Is that really where you're trying to take it and ultimately get out of the residential, or are you just looking to expand further?
I think that that would be kind of nice to do that, to get out of the residential stuff more and more into the commercial and industrial. Now we do have a challenge, right? And I don't want to get too far into this. I want to keep this whole thing positive, but you know, everything that's happening now in our country and in our world with some of these changes that the internet's bringing and some other things.
Here's what I want you to do real quick. I want you to just be open about it, whether it's negative or positive. I want to hear you. So
whatever. Sure. It is. Okay. Well, you know, everything that we have with coronavirus and everything that we are seeing with, you know, different regulations changing and how the industry is shifting around, right? You know, is commercial, and more things go virtual, more you know, opportunities to buy online. What's that going to do to commercial real estate, right? Mm. We don't know what the future of that looks like, right? Now, if you can just, like, if everything turns into an Amazon style, everything because of everything that we're going through, you're not going to need these big stores. You're not going to, and there's going to have so much open real estate, right? So what does that evolution look like? What backfills those spaces, right? Right now, people are scared to be around each other and, you know, don't be in big groups. And there's some that aren't scared and there's some that are scared. And then there's all these rules and regulations of, you know, who can do what when, and you know, you got these people fighting with each other. You can't tell me to do that. And we're going to tell you, anyways, let's not go that direction. But that's the idea behind it. That, you know, what is going to happen in the future with the actual real estate? Because if you rewind 10, 15 years ago, like you didn't have all this online shopping the way that we do now and the opportunity to, even with your groceries, what would it look like if groceries all went online? Think about the Meijer stores that are everywhere. I mean, Kmart's died off. What makes us think that any of that stuff couldn't die off? And really the evolution in life, right? It comes and it goes. Yep. You know, there's no matter how big you get, and this is the mentality too, I have to have too, like success is like a rented temporary thing. Oh man, we just made, you know, 100 grand, super sweet, right? Well, that can be gone and you can owe 300 grand in like 6 months, right? Because these things change, you don't know, right? So being thankful for what you have is super important, and know that it could ebb and flow. And no matter what, billionaires can turn into broke homeless people just the same, right? Everything goes away. These things happen. So what's it going to look like for the real estate industry moving forward? It might offer some unique opportunities too, as that evolution happens, right? And so I kind of feel like I'm on the cutting edge of that a little bit, right? I can be part of it in that creation of whatever might be new, or the sustaining of what we already have.
I haven't heard from that perspective before, and it's unique and interesting that you bring that up that way. Are you seeing more opportunities to present and just doing virtual visits for your properties with potential buyers, potential sellers?
So that did happen earlier in the spring when, you know, all these lockdowns first started happening, right? Stay at home orders. There was these virtual tours that were offered, and I did utilize that a little bit. With a house, it's tough because here's why, right? If you want to buy, you know, an ice cream scoop, buying an ice cream scoop online on Amazon and it shows up and it was, you know, $7 and it's crappy and it's not the one you wanted, you don't really care. However, if you buy a house for $225,000 and then you get there and you move in and you're like, actually, I don't even like this. This is not what they presented to me online, right? That's a little bit different of a story. So it's got to pass the smell test. So while it was helpful to get an idea, right, until people go and look at it and see it, they got to see it, feel it, touch it. You got to walk in, like with buying a house, like what I look for my clients is when they walk in and they're like, yeah, this is the one, right? And it's not the one for me. Like I've had clients buy houses where I'm like, really? Sure. You want to buy this house? You know, but it's not my job to help them find what I think is a good house. It's just my job to, you like it? If this is the one you like, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? Well, that kind of is kind of torn apart over there. Well, we don't care about all that stuff because we can fix it. Okay, I'm just pointing it out to you, right? You know,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, I'm not really that negative realtor, but I'm more the guy that is not trying to sell you something, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to point out the things that are wrong with the house. And we're going to look at this because when you move in, I want you to know what you're buying, right? You know, and let's point out all the good stuff too, why we like it, but let's make sure we, anyways. So the virtual stuff can be helpful, but I don't think in the long run that you'll sustain a real estate industry that way, because there's going to be too many people that show up that don't like what they bought, and that's a really, really big number.
You can't really just return it, you know? Can't put it back in the box, get an RMA label, send it back, and a week later you get your refund and a new product or whatever. It just doesn't work that way with houses. So that's awesome. I think it's really cool, your perspective, your unique angle and perspective on all that. I guess the question that always comes up in things like this is, so say I'm a new real estate agent, or I'm going through the process of getting my license right now. What advice would you have for me, having your experience, seeing what you've seen, going through what you've gone through? What can you tell me about it? What can you advise me on?
Oh, geez.
What's the number one thing? Let's isolate it to one. What's the top thing, piece of advice that you would give?
Top piece of advice I'd give to a new real estate agent?
Because you've done well, you've been in and out of a variety of different ones. You got your own brokerage now, you know, so.
Right. You can make a lot of money at real estate, for sure. And it requires a tremendous amount of work. And a lot of people might think that, oh, you know, you get into real estate, you sell a house, you make 5 or 7 grand or something like that. Like, it's not quite that easy, right? There's a lot of moving parts to it and how to coordinate all this stuff. And the biggest piece of advice I would have for somebody, though, I would say, is just understand that the real estate industry is not about selling things to people as much as it is about helping them find what they want to buy. So questions. Know how to ask questions. As a real estate agent, figuring out what your client wants and helping them find that. And then ask them more questions, because they're going to tell you what you want to buy. Your job is to help them buy what they want to buy. And so instead of trying to walk into every house or no matter whatever it is that you're selling and, you know, pointing out all the great reasons why they should buy it. Oh, look how beautiful this is. And this is great. Fantastic. Right. Just questions, questions, questions. Get good at questions.
Hold on 1 second here.
I got crying in the background happening too. So,
all right, let me pause this real quick. Sorry. I'll edit this out. Hold Zoom. Cool. So that's a good answer. And just asking questions instead of like trying to sell something, you know, allow them to tell you what they want to buy and continue to ask questions and dive deeper, dig deeper and provide them with what they're looking for. I'm guessing partnerships are pretty important in your business too, because if you're representing the buyer, you want to have some sort of a decent relationship with maybe the seller's agent, right? I don't know. I'm kind of ignorant to the whole thing, but.
Yeah, they really, yeah. I mean, with that, I won't get too far into that, but you know, seller's agents represent the seller and buyer's agents represent the buyer. Yes. You want to have good reputation between other agents in dealing with them. But, you know, you're representing two different people. So, you know, it's not time to be buddy-buddy during a transaction. It's time to represent your client, right? You have a fiduciary responsibility to represent them to the best of your ability. So, but save that for a different day. If anybody is interested in real estate stuff, they can connect with me on that.
Yep, and we'll get to that in a minute. So who are the top three people, Ryan, that have influenced you through your life? Top three.
The top three people that have influenced me. Definitely my parents.
This is one of my favorite questions, man. I love asking this question.
Yeah. Yep. My parents have definitely influenced me. Starting that off, they've been a great influence in a lot of ways to mold me into the person I am. I was very forgiving for a lot of years as well. Right. So that's probably the first one. Second one, we'll dive into Napoleon Hill, somebody I never met. Right. Napoleon Hill, if those that are listening don't know, the author of Think and Grow Rich, and also, why can't I think of the one? Interview with the Devil, right? Yep. That was an interesting book right there. But that's really formed a lot of the ways that I think by studying those principles, right? There's so much that he has there. And somebody else that's really influenced me. Let's think on that one there. Who's another person that's really influenced me? And maybe this should have been first Jesus, right? We could have went there, right? Somebody else I've never met, but at the same time, I've met him so many times over and over, right? You know, just because you don't meet the physical body of somebody doesn't mean that you don't meet, you know, the ideas that they've left behind and the influence that they can have on you at a spiritual level. So
very cool. There we go. Very cool. So I want to ask then, have you ever had an opportunity where you could do really well financially, benefit very, very well, but you turned it down because it didn't align with your faith? It didn't align with your values. And while you answer that question, I'm going to get something that you gifted me a long time ago that's relevant to what you just answered. So the question is, have you ever turned down an opportunity because it didn't align with your faith and values?
Absolutely, for sure. Yep, I most definitely have. Money is money, and it definitely comes and goes. In a lot of instances with a big family, especially, it goes very quickly. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, I definitely take that into consideration. I'm not interested in doing deals with somebody just for the sake of doing the deal.
Cool. So this, I don't know when you gave me this, but it had to have been maybe 2011, 2012. You remember this guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Looky there.
So this is a gift that this man gave me a decade ago, maybe. Look at that. This is your book right here, Think and Grow Rich. So
yeah,
that's something that I've listened to the audiobook half a dozen times, read through this probably three or four times, probably get into it about once a year, maybe. Not consistently every year, but I definitely will get into it again this year. So we talked a lot about faith. Obviously, it's called the Faith Rising Podcast. Do you have a favorite verse, a favorite saying, and what is that? Let's go with favorite verse.
Yeah, with Christ, all things are possible, I guess. You know, I think about that right there is probably one of the favorites. There's a lot of nuggets to take, obviously, from the Bible. We as a family pray every day. Right. It's important that the foundation that I can lay for my children with faith is front and center with what I do, because really, as a parent, you know, I'm short lived. Right. I'm not going to be here forever, right? You know, and to think that we're going to have like this little dynamic of our family that's never going to change. No, it's absolutely going to change. They're going to go off on their own. They're going to do their own thing. I mean, God forbid, God pulls my number sooner than later, right? But you don't know. So, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, we have all this time, we have all this stuff, like, no, you have right now, right? That's what we have. And so, you know, we pray with each other every day. We've been praying the rosary a lot with each other every night. And so that's been powerful for our family, and to see our kids actively engaged in that, like they enjoy that. And another thing that we do through our prayer too is every day, and we have since the kids have all been very little, like before they could even talk, like they were, you know, making noises, but what we're thankful for the day, right? And it's sometimes as simple as things of like, hey, we're thankful we have food, we're thankful we have flushing toilets, right? I mean, so many people can take that kind of stuff for granted, that we flush our toilets with drinking water.
Yeah,
come on. All right. And there's so many people that just take so many things for granted, like that they just, you know, we have a luxurious lifestyle, especially if you live in the United States, you know, and a lot of other places around the world too. I mean, there's a lot of people even here in the United States that don't have what we have, right? And it's like, how can we build things up for those people so that they can have the mentality that can create those same opportunities, right? Because, you know, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man a fish, he eats for a lifetime. So, you know, there's so many things that can go along with that. But yeah, so teaching our kids to be thankful for the small things, right? We're thankful that we have a house with, you know, four walls and windows that shut, and then it's warm, right? We can hide under our little blankets at nighttime and do our little sleeping thing, right? You know, so the small things, it's very important that we ingrain those in their minds, you know, while we're praying, you know, after we're done and saying these things every day. And it's worked out really well for us.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. So Ryan, if you could step into my shoes and ask yourself one question that I didn't, what would that question be?
What do I want to be when I grow up?
Right? What do you want to be when you grow up? Do any of us really know? We all have this desire when we're kids, but.
Right. And the real reason I asked that is because it brings it back to the faith in God, right? We sometimes can see partway into the future, right? Oh, I want to do these over the next few months. We want to set goals. We want to, you know, go a certain direction, right? But if when we get older, what we want to be when we grow up is we always say, I want to ask God for direction. I want to ask God for his will, and then actually truly follow that, right? That's what we should all want to be when we grow up, is where God calls us to be, right? So in the short term, we can think about certain things, and yes, you have to plan, and yes, you have to, you know, create a life. You can't just, you know, wake up in the morning and just lay in bed until, you know, your phone goes off from, you know, oh, it's God on the caller ID. Where am I supposed to go today? It's not like that, right? But so, you know, have faith, you know, ask for guidance from God and then understand what that looks like.
What
and do it.
Amazing answer, man. What a great answer that was. So last two here, where can we connect with you, man? You're all over the place. What's the easiest way? We want you already said the Kelly Crew, and it's K-E-L-L-E-Y, not just K-E-L-L-Y. Yep. What socials are you on? How can we get a hold of you? How can our listeners find you?
Yep, for sure. So Kelly Crew is probably the best one, right? THEKELLEYKREW, the Kelly Crew. You're going to find that. All of our old videos are on the old Kelly Crew, right? So you can find some stuff there if you want to look back in the past. As far as like on social media, I'm not on Facebook anymore. You know, you can find me on my real estate website, NuconRealty.com, N-U-C-O-N Realty.com. A little bit of information there. But yeah, I've stayed off of some other social medias here as of recently.
So no Instagram, no Twitter, no Snapchat, no Facebook, nothing?
We're the Kelly Crew on Instagram. Okay. I think I don't use the Snapchat very much. I have an account. But I just pretty much do it to make the stupid little filter faces to send to a couple different people, right? Like, nice. Really? See how ridiculous you can make yourself look with those things, right? Have fun. So yeah, I'm on Snapchat, but I forget my username or whatever.
We'll find it. We'll find it.
Yeah, you can find it for sure. But the YouTube stuff is the best place to go, right? That's the most active social media that we're on, right? So I'm a real estate guy. I help people buy stuff, and I make videos that inspire people for family. And then my wife's channel too. You know, if there's any moms that are watching this or anything, this mama's house, she does videos on cooking and cleaning mostly, right? Cleaning motivation and then lots of recipes and stuff like that. She's rocking it. I'll tell you what, she has created an amazing, loyal, strong, big following. I'm married to a rock star of a woman that is going to probably be able to create that brand that she has there into a household brand with kitchen appliances. We're already working on that. Kitchen appliances, aprons, we're going to make a manufacturing business out of this for homemaking stuff.
That's awesome. Inspiration number four, fourth person, Ms. Tabitha Kelly.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, for sure. And she's my number one. I think, maybe I could have said this earlier, and there'd be a little side note right now, in a family dynamic too, the marriage is the most important thing to us, right? My wife and I, right? More so than our kids, right? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because the kids are going to go live their life in a different direction, and you need to give them an abundance of love. But it's really my wife and I, right? So the marriage needs to be number one. You don't put the marriage aside for the next 25 years to raise the kids. No, you put the marriage number one, and you just raise kids, and yes, you have to be there for them. And yes, the dynamic's hard when there's a bunch of little kids or whatever. So you can just ignore them for 2 days because we needed a vacation with each other. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right. I get you.
But yeah, the marriage needs to be number one, right? The relationship between those two. Then if you put God in the front of the relationship, right? So, and her and I pray together, and that's important. Some people have a hard time praying with their significant others. And we find having a hard time not praying together. And it was kind of weird at first. And so you just got to do it, just do it.
Stick with it. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what do you feel your purpose is on this planet?
My boy. That's a tough question because I feel like there's a very, very big thing that God's calling me to do. And I need to try to understand more of why he wants me to do that. Right. But just to be able to fill those shoes and be able to help a lot of people, find their purpose, I guess, the opportunity for them to thrive in life, right? So it's a big thing, and I don't want to dive too far into it right this second on here, but let's just say that, I feel like God's calling me to do something big for him, to make sure that other people have an abundance of opportunity to do the same in their life.
That's awesome. I absolutely love it. Ryan Kelly, I appreciate you being on here today. I really appreciate your time, being open, being honest, being candid with us and sharing some of your story, your journey, and bringing us up to where you are right now. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, watchers, viewers, listeners, followers, for continuing to support us as we continue to grow, be more consistent in our output, and doing this for you as well. So thanks again, Ryan. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.